This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. And I'm never prepared. Maddie came home from work and it was like 9:07 p.m.
It was 8.
Okay, it was 8:07 p.m. And she was like, okay, do you have like your notes typed up? You ready to go? And I definitely was like, yeah, of course. So it is now 10:29 p.m. and I just finished typing up my notes.
It's
so
fine.
That we can film this evening.
It's fine.
She was like, you don't have to. And then looked at me for a long
No,
time.
I didn't.
And then
no, Rachel feels pressure because we have fans.
I know. We
just
reached
kidding.
1,000 views. And also I felt pressure because a coworker of mine requested the story and then I made her request it on Instagram, so it looked as though people gave a shit about us.
It's true.
I was like, don't just tell me this to my face, you tell me this to my computer screen. And she was like, and then she didn't, and I had to tell her like four times. So as you can see, it was very genuine. Also a fun fact, I was watching a show on HBO today called The Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet. And it takes place in Pennsylvania. And I know that everyone says, like, in our area, like, Pennsylvania, Maryland, that there's an accent. I know it. And I've heard some people in our area have a very strong one. But for the most part, I don't hear it on a regular basis. And just hearing celebrities try to pull that shit off, I'm like, you know what? We're a real class act over here.
You saw the SNL skit?
No, I don't watch SNL.
Recently, it was, like, about a Pennsylvania true crime detective show.
No. Were they like,
it's literally a Baltimore. Home. No, it's a Baltimore accent.
That's what this
show
is.
So anyone who watches that is like, oh, that's Pennsylvania. No, it's a fucking Baltimore accent.
Yeah, that's exactly what the show is like. And they just exaggerate home so bad. And they're like, helm. And I'm like, we don't all say that, okay?
Water.
I say water.
I know, so do I.
My mom does say water, though. And she says winder. And I'm like, it's a fucking window with a W. That's my only spiel for today. I was just like, okay, you're doing your best, but that can't be how we all sound. But apparently that is how we are, in fact, perceived.
Tis.
I mean, I don't live in Pennsylvania, but we're close enough. We're sisters. Oh, please don't light the room ablaze.
I won't.
What are you smoking over there? I'm just making my Broadway debut.
This is a podcast / music.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this strain is a sativa dominant hybrid, originally bred in the Bay Area of California.
Oh, our story takes place in California. Oh! That's exciting.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
We referenced the Bay Area at some
point.
Oh
my god. Wow. Okay, it's called Star Dog.
Oh.
And it is a cross between Chem Dog number 4 and Trey Dog.
Trey.
Very. Very dog.
Yeah.
Is what that says. And it's got a very musky, earthy scent with some very diesel-y fumes, which now that it's burning is harder to tell, but when it was not burning,
you
could smell that. And medical patients typically use the strain to manage symptoms of fatigue, stress, and anxiety. It helps with pain, alleviates digestive issues, and causes the munchies. So that's not going to be great. I was already eating chips when Rachel was doing her nose.
I don't even like Lifesaver gummies, and I was eating Shane's Lifesaver gummies. So
I was looking at DoorDash, and the like soonest delivery time was 77 minutes, and I said, fuck that.
Oh, I will take us when this is over if you're still hungry.
I might go.
I will allow it.
Okay. Also, very good for helping you sleep. Although it's a sativa dominant, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm pretty sure it has a good amount of myrcene. I'm just going to look at this exact strain because they all really are quite different depending on who grows it. But it's only like 0.24% myrcene, so yeah, not too sedating, but it's good for multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and apparently it makes you very talkative and gives some people huge bursts of energy, so we'll see about that.
Oh shit, get that burst of energy right before we go to Taco Bell.
I'm not sure, but we'll see.
No, but guys,
and then it says accompanied by a relaxing indica body buzz, so okay. Hybrid, so you know, most strains chill. Are quite hybrid anyway.
Yeah, I have noticed that for sure. Is that all the things?
It's ideal for treating chronic stress, fatigue, and anxiety disorders. And the THC is typically between 16% and 22%, but this one is 31.86%.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze me. Does it help with excessive burping?
No, probably not.
Maddie struggles from
that. I can't be helped.
Now that you know, everyone at your work listens, you're like, fuck it, this is who I am as a person. I can't. They can just know me as I am.
Honestly, everyone at work knows I'm weird as fuck. Me and Cheyenne, who I work with, and everyone knows we're weird as fuck, and it's fine.
Listen, my coworker Carly, first of all, have you ever seen the movie Fired Up? It's like a comedy where this guy goes to cheer camp because he's really into this girl, Carly. Problem solved.
It's fine.
Well, anyway, he calls her like Carly Horse and Carl's Barkley. And
oh my gosh, what is it? What's movie?
Fired Up.
Yes, Fired Up.
And he's like, Carly Horse.
How do you spell Fired Up? F-U. That's so good.
What are we gonna get? Fired Up.
How do you spell it? F-U.
So, I always call her Carl's Barkley, but then my other coworker calls her Charles, and that's just taken off. Her name is just Charles now. But she was like, I have to tell you this fucking banana story about this girl, Mary Vincent. And I was super intrigued because it's a survival story. Spoiler alert. And Charles and I have this this thing we've been doing at work lately. When something's just so great, we'll be like, chef's kiss. Because it's just so supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way about this story. And I was really excited in my mind. I was like, I'm going to do something where someone survives. Because I've been having really bad nightmares lately. Like, I told Maddie about some of them. Like, nightmares where people are getting, like, chopped up. Mm-hmm. Where, like, my legs are getting amputated. Just some weird shit. And I'm just going to let you know, it is this fucking story.
Yeah.
Even though it's got a good, like, kind of ending, it's just, like, so intense. So I'm just gonna give everybody a chance now. If you want to gracefully bow out, I don't know what it is about this story, but it fucked me up bad for days.
Well, here I am.
Like, even now, my source material for this is actually an I Survived episode that featured Mary Vincent, and I just had to re-watch it to, like, just refresh some of my notes and stuff and make sure I had, like, facts correct. And I was like, fuck, man, just why? And why is she so awesome? And why am I so weak? But anyway.
I would probably die instantly, I imagine.
I would die.
I don't know.
Fright. I freeze in fear, so I honestly, I probably would not have, like, a strong will.
I don't freeze in... Well, it depends.
It depends for me, too, because I'm very protective of other people. It
depends on the situation.
Really strong protective instincts for others, but not for myself.
I really don't like confrontation.
Yeah, but if somebody's trying to murder you, you might be like, you know what? I'm going to get past it. I don't know that to be true. But also, I took off my... No, I didn't. That's... Never mind. I thought okay. I took off my ring and lost it. Anyway, I'm going on.
Who's high here?
This is in September 1978, because the 70s, they were a time. They were a time because no one had cell phones. It was a different world. People were going places. So Mary Vincent was hitchhiking in Modesto, California. She was only 15 years old, and she had run away from her home in Nevada to California originally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I saw some sources that she had, like, lived
people with... just, like, ran away from home and, like, lived on their own at 13.
All the time. And I did see some sources that said she lived with, like, an uncle, but when I was watching her account of the story, she said she was sick of being alone. So I'm taking it as she was on her own in California. I didn't get, like, any information that there was any, like, abuse or whatnot at home, but kind of, like, a vibe that things weren't great. I def- definitely didn't get like a vibe of me who like my home life was fine and I was like, I'm running away because you won't let me talk to my boyfriend. Like, it definitely gave off the vibe that she had, you know, her own concerns and reasons for wanting to dip out, but I didn't see any evidence of like abuse or anything like that. I think it was just more like probably a stressful home environment of some sort.
Interesting.
On this day in particular, Mary finally decided she wanted to go back home. I actually mixed up my notes. Back home from California to Nevada, where she was from. I'm pretty sure her mom was like a blackjack dealer in Vegas. She just kind of realized life as a runaway wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. She was super lonely. She was really exhausted. And by her account, she just really wanted to go home. Like, she just had enough of being out there surviving on her own. And she was like, whatever, my shit is at home. It's not as bad as this.
Yeah, fucking life's hard.
She did say at some point that her guard was maybe down quite a bit more than it would have been otherwise because of how desperate she was to just be done with this life. Like I said, I got most of my information from her I Survived episode because she survived. And like after weeks of so many stressful stories, I was like, I need some like little baby light at the end of this death tunnel. Although this light was pretty dim, but there's still light at the end of it. And I also like really enjoyed listening, not enjoyed in that sense, but I liked the thought of the survivor being able to tell their own story and not just at the hands of detectives or whoever, had whatever, just actually what she experienced.
Quite important.
So I thought that was interesting and different. I haven't done that yet. So I was, there were some other stories on her episode and I was like, fuck, like the shit that people have actually survived. I was like, this is crazy.
I would just not, I would simply pass away.
Correct. I mean, anyway, Mary noted in this episode, it was the 70s. Hitchhiking was super common at the time. Nobody thought anything of it. Even on like the day this happened, there were a bunch of people trying to catch a ride in the same area. Like, it wasn't just like one or two people on the side of the road.
I can't even imagine. Everywhere
hitchhiking. It was like the thing to do.
No.
Mary in particular had a sign saying that she was going south. And there happened to be two other people in the group there behind her that were also going south as well and had signs saying that they were going south too. South, not south.
Like, I hate myself. You just put south on a sign and just go wherever, like,
I think so. The vibe that I got is just kind of like you get taken as far as someone can take you and then they drop you and then you just go that direction some more until you get closer to your actual destination.
I'd rather die.
But it was really common. Like, that's just how it was. Eventually a man pulled up in a blue van, and even though the van was clearly empty, he said he only had room. I definitely just did a Dundalk accent.
Ream.
Hashtag my
ream. My ream.
Yeah, I hate myself. Fucked. I hate it. No matter how far you get away from the home base, it never leaves your vocab. Anyway, where was I? Yes, he said he only had room in the van for one person. The two other people that were behind her going south as well, they definitely tried to warn her, she said. They were like, if he's not willing to take other people and specifically only wants to take a single female, I gathered one of them might have been male, that it was not the safest bet and she shouldn't go. It was like really hard for me watching the look on Mary's face telling this story because you could definitely just see the regret on her face of that decision. But she admitted that she wasn't like a daredevil or anything, but she was just way too desperate to think.
How are you gonna know that that's gonna happen, you know?
I think, yeah, she said she was just so exhausted and she was lonely and she could not.
That was back before cell phones. It was back before social media. No one knew that people were capable of this kind of malicious, evil behavior.
Just on the tail end of a lot of serial killers. Like, they just started really ramping up and becoming known in the 70s. So true. It wasn't like before this, it was all over the place. Like, now, we have podcasts. We have history. We have things, you know?
Yeah.
But she said she could not handle one more day alone. Like, it was worth the risk. And she decided to go with him. And she said she didn't even let herself think about what
I would never get in a car with a white man like that.
Bro, accurate. A fucking old one at that.
They're the scariest.
Correct. But she said, she was like, I didn't think about him. I didn't think about him as a person. I didn't think about my situation. I just was so tired. I hopped right in there. It was really sad, too, because she said that part of the reason that she did, like, not give too much thought to it is because he kind of seemed like a grandfather figure, which kind of put her mind at ease a little bit. And sadly, it put her mind at ease so much that she fell asleep. She was so tired, and she was like, he seems harmless. I'm going to go to bed. Which...
I wish life wasn't real sometimes.
How long she was asleep, but she probably didn't even know. She just kind of passed out and woke up a little bit later. when she...
Pardon me. Pardon me.
Are you good?
I don't even have any water in here.
You need to take a water break?
Any water. No, it's okay.
Okay.
I'll carry on.
Eventually... Mary does wake up, but she realizes when she does that they're going the wrong direction. The signs are clearly showing, like, a different location.
Honest to God, my worst nightmare.
And that freaked her out right away. She started to panic, and she was like, no, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
And she said she happened to look down and notice some type of stick or something on the ground. I couldn't, like, a surveyor stick, maybe. It was something. Mm-mm. And she picked it up and pointed at him and was like, where are you going? She said, look. You're going the wrong way, and you know you're going the wrong way. I'm on to you. Side eye. And he immediately apologized, telling her it was an honest mistake and that he just needed to pull over.
Oh, my God. I literally forgot which direction was which.
Yeah. Oh, she wasn't buying it. So he was like, I just need to pee really quick. I'm just going to pull over right quick, and then we'll go back on the road the right direction.
Do people really think they're fooling? I mean, I guess some people are gullible, right?
I think he just was like, it doesn't matter, I have to do it now because she's on to me. And then he pulled over in the middle of this deserted road and got out. Like I said, though, Mary definitely knew what was up, and she knew she was in trouble. So she started looking around, trying to get her thoughts in order. And when she did, she said she noticed that her shoe was untied. And in her mind... she was like, okay, I'm younger than him, faster and stronger, but if I'm going to outrun him, I need to tie my shoe because I don't want to trip over my shoelace. That was her precious little baby thought in her little tiny 15-year-old brain. I know. I'm dead.
I'm sad already. I know.
But she was scared enough that, like, she was preparing to flee. So he had gotten out at this point to urinate. Air quotes.
What a penis.
I know. Disgusting.
I hate men sometimes.
I just hate that that I'm a girl and that, like, there's so many men whose just only thoughts are just about what they want to do to our bodies.
That's why I don't leave the house.
It's just disgusting.
I know.
That's why, like, I tell Sean every day he can never leave me. I'm like, I cannot go out into this dating world. Like, I got myself a decent person.
I've settled on dying alone and it's just absolutely fine with me.
You can always live with Sean and I so that you can have all the spousal support. You just
don't
have to have sex with
him. It's fine. Exactly. It's the best of both worlds if you really think about
really,
it.
Really, like, no one there to try to touch you. You're just like, make me snacks. She literally came home today and he was like, lasagna. I have to tell you.
Okay, so delicious.
I have to interrupt this for 1 second to tell you the most precious thing I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day I was like feeling down on my luck about fertility. I was just a little sad, you know?
It's sad.
And I was kind of going off on a tangent that even with all the understanding surrounding it, it's like everyone acts like you just have not leveled up in life unless you've had a kid. And what bothers me in particular mm-hmm. is when people always say, you just don't know love until you have a baby. And wrong. I'm like, so what, my life is just meaningless? And Sean...
I'm pretty sure the Lord said you should save your spouse over your children.
Correct, he did. I love that Maddie remembers that. I am slowly...
That's the most important thing in the Bible.
No, the most important thing was him making every herb for our use. The second
all I'm saying is you can make more kids, bitch.
But you can't make another
true
husband.
Love is supposed to be the person that you, like,
wait, this are is with. The cute part. You missed it. You're missing it.
I know. I'm ruining it.
So he literally was like... I don't want to be told I don't know what true love is. I love our family. I love you. I love our roommate. And I was like, oh. I knew it. I knew it this whole time.
Oh.
because, you know, Maddie and Sean used to go at it pretty ham over politics, so I wasn't sure.
It's fine.
It was hard to tell if love existed there.
But I care less now.
Alas, there are some things that have been put to bed now that have really helped the situation.
In my defense, he has a trumpet.
He does, guys. But you know what?
Now that, I think that's all the defense you need.
But... now that that is gone from our lives, things have been better. I was telling somebody at work the other day, they were asking about my podcast, and I was like, I just have to warn you, though, we do go pretty hard on the white man and the US of A. And she was like, oh, it's fine. I'm a Democrat. I was like, perfect. Perfect.
I have no apologies. So if you don't like it, don't
listen. To say that Sean said he loved you, and it was very precious.
That's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
I know, it was really cute, and I was like, okay. So, anyway.
Wow.
Mary opens a passenger side door. This guy's out taking a fictitious pee.
He's faking it? The AC.
Oh. It's really whistling. Oh, because you closed it. That's why we're sweating to death, guys.
No, I'm cold.
Ow! You're in a hoodie with a blanket balled up in an armchair. I'm over here, no bra, shorts, a tank top, sweating my ass off, and I hear the desperate whistle of the air trying to make its way to my overheated body. It's fine.
I'm freezing.
It's fine. Leave it closed. Anyway, so yes, he got out of the car. He pulled the van over. He gets out of the car. He's like, I gotta pee real quick. She's like, I gotta do something. So she opens the passenger side door and leans down to tie her shoe. And she said when she does, she feels him hit her in the head, in the back of the head with a sledgehammer. And she blacks out.
No. Correct. Not the skull.
Correct. With a sledgehammer.
No.
I know. So that was horrible. So when... I'm just going to give a trigger warning now, because...
yeah, that should have been a trigger warning.
I mean, yes, but this whole episode is honestly a trigger warning, but it's about to get even more bleak.
Oh, no.
I did deliberately not dig too far. Apparently, there were more details surrounding these next things, and I just don't think that's necessary.
Yeah.
You get the picture.
Some things are just not worth speaking on.
When Mary did come to, she was tied up in the back of his van completely naked. And she said that literally as soon as she woke up, like the second he realized she was conscious, he began raping her. Which really says something about his character, because you had her there and had this opportunity to do this while she was unconscious. So he clearly needed her to be awake.
I absolutely hate it.
It's disgusting. And I told Maddie, I said, not that it's ever acceptable, but it's like literally never anyone who's not fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
It's never anybody who showers or isn't like an old, disgusting, wrinkly fuck.
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean, I guess it is.
The trauma. I mean, yes. To, yes, yes, yes.
It's just like, ew. So this poor girl. So that happens as soon as she wakes up, which is horrible. And at some point she said she did ask him, like, why he was doing that to her, but he just didn't say anything. And he just continued to rape her several times. She said, like, 5 or 6 more times at that point, and then he went to sleep. Do you guys hear Creature screaming at the door?
He is
to come
screaming.
In? He is not invited. There's weed in here, which is very toxic to animals.
He's also a little butthole.
I might hold on. I'm gonna let him, I'm just gonna hold him.
He's oh, oh, you're just gonna hold him? Okay.
He's just so, no, because what if he breathes it in the air and then mm-hmm. really bad? No, he mm-hmm. can stay out there. Sometimes love is hurting things' feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him very much. So. he did eventually fall asleep after like the several times. But sadly she said she was so completely tied up, and the way he had her tied, like there was just no chance she could escape. Like she was completely bound. But I don't, you ever just like have a story you don't want to tell? She said while she was laying there, she just kept thinking like it was super painful and the worst thing she ever felt, and that she just wanted to die so it would be over. That it just, she was hyper aware of everything she was feeling, and it obviously didn't feel good. And she said she just kept praying that she would die because she couldn't deal with it. However, sadly, wow. he woke up and then continued to rape her the entire night. So he kidnapped her in the daytime, and then he raped her, like, overnight, the entire time.
I just don't understand how that even, like, happens.
Correct. Mary said that all she could do was just repeatedly beg him to set her free, and that she would ask him over and over, just set me free, I won't tell anybody. And she said she was awake the entire time, all the way until sunrise the next day, just, like, literally asking him to set her free, and nothing else for the whole night. You'd think, surely, that's bad enough. But when daytime rolled around, which I'm also not sure, I guess it was that deserted that he felt really brazen that he could then proceed to attack her in the daylight. But at this time, she kept asking, and he got really angry, and he pulled her out of the back of the van. So she's standing there, like, tied by her arms. She's exhausted. She's bleeding from being assaulted, and she's just, like, there waiting. And she said he just really calmly looked at her and said, "You want to be set free? I'll set you free." And then he walked over to the toolbox in the back of his van. He pulled out a hatchet and just he chopped off her left arm below her elbow. So he hit it once, she said. And when he hit it, she reached out and grabbed his arm really tight. And then he hit her again. And she said that she started to fall, but she couldn't understand why she was falling when she could see her hand on his arm, like, holding it, because it had been chopped off. So, like, I guess her mind at the time, rightfully so, couldn't catch up to the fact that he had chopped it off while she was holding him. So eventually she fell down. She looked over and saw all the blood gushing out of her arm, and I want to throw up. She said she could feel it, and she remembers the feeling of it, that it was sharp and burning, and that the blood that was coming out of her was really hot, and she could feel it, like, gushing out all hot. Which, I've never been injured okay. to that
degree. My arm!
I know. No, and I have, like, pain where my covert shot was, so I'm like, But one time, I was holding one of my cats, and he got startled by something, and he cut me in the face. And he did, like, this perfect slice with his claw. And yep. all I remember was that I just felt hot running mm-hmm. down my face. And I knew he had gotten me really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, because it was a very sharp cat claw, it was, like, a super even, like, yeah. slice. And it Ugh. Just, you can barely see the scar. I know. But she could feel, like, all this hot blood. And she said she was completely aware. She still remembers it. And that it was horrible pain. Like, she didn't, at that time, like, go into any shock. She just experienced it. Oh, my
God.
I know. Can you believe it? Because I definitely no. would be in shock. I'd be in shock from being How do you assaulted know? All the night. Like, I would be in shock from being tired from that. For sure. She said that after this, she's laying on the ground. She's bleeding from her left arm. Then he grabbed her right arm, and she knew he was going to try to cut it off. So she started to, like, ferociously fight him. So she was screaming. She was kicking him. She was trying to punch him.
I hate my life.
She did say, though, sadly, because she was fighting so hard, it took him a lot longer to chop off her arm. He had to keep trying to chop at it because she's not going to fucking let him do it. The first time she was caught off guard and, like, shocked. And this time she, like, knows what's up. So... She said when he was done chopping off her right arm, she now had both of her arms gone, and she's lying on the ground bleeding, but she looked over and she could see him, like, flicking his arm really hard, but she didn't know why until eventually she kept looking, and at the end of his arm, she could see that her hand was still gripping his arm, like, with all its might, like, still stuck to him, and it got stuck like that, like, when he cut it off, and he was trying to fling it off. So, while all this is happening, she's obviously bleeding out, and she just decided to just lay there, lifeless, like, what is she gonna do? He's chopped off her arms, and she said she thinks he thought she was dead because he started to drag her, and she just decided to keep laying there lifeless as he was dragging her, and he brought her to the edge of this fucking cliff and threw her over a 30-foot cliff, like, so she could roll down this ravine. At which time she broke four of her ribs. And she just laid there at the bottom of the cliff going into shock from blood loss, trauma. She's completely naked, missing both of her arms, got tossed off a fucking cliff, four ribs broken, and still alive. She's still alive. And she wasn't sure if, like, he had driven off, if he was still waiting. So she said she just laid there bleeding to death at the bottom of the ravine. And for who knows how long, so...
Rachel, just... real quick.
Yeah.
People have fallen and died in the shower.
I swear to God, I was like, this bitch was like, absolutely not.
No. People have slipped on a soap bar in their shower and died.
Correct. I almost died eating too much Taco Bell.
I almost died on my way home from work today.
Oh, I forgot about that crazy accident you saw.
Oh my God.
I know.
That was crazy.
I know. I was like, oh, you called the cops, right? And she was like, no. Someone had to have. This car flipped like several times.
No, I called my friend Cheyenne instead.
You're a terrible person.
Oops.
You were literally like, I mean, someone called. You're not that.
To be fair, I didn't see any of the signs around where I was, but I kind of knew where I was.
Yeah. It is hard because you're like.
It was literally the part of the highway where I was just getting off on my exit to go to a different highway.
Oh, yeah.
So as I was getting off, like, it literally happened so fast. It was ridiculous. And it was the opposing direction. So it was across an entire thing.
I've seen a couple accidents and it's crazy. And yeah. It's so scary and it happened so fast.
It was like Final Destination because it was like rain and like everyone was going slow.
She said that and I was like, oh, did logs fly off the back of a truck finally? No.
No, but I did see a TikTok where someone had that happen to them.
If you know, you know. I haven't been able to drive past or behind one of those since.
Oh, I won't. I won't.
So, yes, she's at the bottom of this ravine, and she's just laying there, like, waiting to die. And, again, so, like, this had happened. He picked her up in daytime, attacked her overnight, chopped off her arms at dawn, threw her down this ravine. So, where was I? Okay, yes. She said at this point, eventually, she could just remember being super tired and cold. And that she just wanted to go to sleep, which...
I would be so sad.
Can you even imagine? Like I said...
I'd be so sleepy.
I would have been dead already, for sure. Like, I would have been like, okay, like, my body's exhausted. It wants to go to bed. Let's just go to sleep, and this is how night, I go. Night. And Mary said that all she could hear was a voice over and over in her head telling her, you can't go to sleep, because if you go to sleep, he's going to do this to someone else. That she literally was thinking of other people. As her arms are chopped off and she's naked and 15 and just been assaulted overnight, she's like, you know what? I can't let him do this to somebody else. So let me let you know what she did, because she was not having it. So, Mary, 15 years old, raped for hours, not slept, bleeding from her arms that have been chopped off, and she thinks, how can I survive this? Because right now, as I'm going, I'm going to bleed to death. So she takes both of her arms, her remaining bleeding arms, and she thinks, I'm going to push them into the dirt so the dirt makes a blood layer and stops some of the bleeding. I'm 32 years old, and I would never, ever, ever, ever have the wherewithal to do that.
I wouldn't. I simply wouldn't, because if I get a paper cut, I want to pass away. I don't do blood. I would honestly never. Pass out.
So she created this mud layer to stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Then she crawled with her nubs and no hands all the way back up the cliff, which took her until sundown. So she had her arms chopped off in the morning, was thrown over the ravine, at some point started to climb.
That's 12 hours.
The mountain. And had to do it
10 to 12
with
hours.
No hands until sundown. So all this so that she could live, so that she could stop this guy from doing this to someone else.
What a sweet angel. So
by the time she gets to the top, it's pitch black other than the moon and stars. And she said she couldn't see shit. She didn't say that. She said she couldn't see anything. But she could hear the faint sound of traffic in the distance, so she decided, I'm just going to walk towards that, and eventually, like, I'll get to someone. And she walks until she sees daylight. So, just to recap, abducted in the daytime, sexually assaulted that day and all night, thrown down a cliff the next day, climbed the cliff until nightfall, and then walked 3 miles until daytime. I literally don't have the cardio to walk upstairs to bed without gasping for air.
That's on facts.
Also, she's naked and has no arms.
No.
Yeah. Correct.
No.
100%. So how many days is that even? That she's just been awake and tortured.
Two,
and she's
three?
Just chilling. She's like, I got, not chilling, but she's like, fuck him. I'm
she certainly ain't chilling.
She's like, fuck this motherfucker. I'm getting out of here. She did say, Maddie has strong feelings about this. She did say that the first car that she saw was a red convertible with two men inside.
Two men.
And then she screamed for help. She did say herself that she definitely looked like something from a Fright Night movie.
No.
She was bleeding. She's naked.
Your Honor, I object.
They freaked out and sped off, which sucks. Mary did say that while she doesn't blame them, she did think at that point that she was going to die out there because everyone was going to be too afraid to stop.
Because
her.
They literally sped off. And didn't even call the police to help her.
Correct.
They could have at least called the police.
Well, they didn't have cell phones.
I don't give a shit. Find something.
You invent them.
Invent a cell phone.
On the spot, you got a convertible, bitch. You can figure it out.
All I'm saying is that's so rude.
I tried to do this story because I was like, something like
it would be two men in a convertible. Fucking douchebags.
Of course. They're probably named fucking Brett and Chad.
They were probably on cocaine.
Probably. They probably have fucking those shirts. The what are they called? The shirts with the collars. The
yes.
Oh my god.
Polos.
Yes. They for sure had polos and fucking khakis. I don't give a shit. It was the 70s. They were
god damn it,
Miami Vice.
Brent.
Fucking.
She Kristen. Could have died after all that. She could have died because of you.
Because of those motherfuckers. Thankfully, she just kept walking because she was like, I gotta live. God. And she comes across this honeymoon couple that had gotten lost. Like they were just. Lost in their truck. They stopped immediately
because they are kind human correct. beings.
Well, you know that's because there was a woman
Rachel at first like, tried to defend the first two guys. She was like, you never know, like I she was to- like a shadow coming from the woods. I'm like, what is it, a deer on its fucking hind legs? Jesus
like,
Christ.
She was like, but also how the fuck is she gonna murder you? She has no fucking arms.
She literally can't kill you. She doesn't have any
arms. I just
arms.
Was trying to play devil's advocate, okay?
I mean, she could. People without arms can kill people, too. I'm not trying to discriminate, but,
I mean, but
it's much harder. Yeah,
her,
like,
she, had
she's,
other
she needs help.
She's also naked. Like, clearly
what the
she,
fuck
she
is
didn't
that?
Do this to herself. But you know the reason the truck stopped is because it was a fucking woman who was like, if you don't pull this motherfucker over and help this lady,
right?
Because that'd be me. I have Sean all the time, like, risking his life to help people. I'll be like, they're stuck in the snow, get out,
get him.
Well, I stay in the warm toasty car fucking backseat ordering. Anyway, so they pull over and she said she remembers them like trying to get her up off the ground, telling her it'd be okay.
Oh my god, god bless.
And I misunderstood at first. I thought they put her in the back from the first time I watched it. It doesn't sound like they did. It sounds like they put her in the car. They like laid her down in their car.
Okay,
their
beautiful
truck.
Sweet angels.
Yes. And she said, Mary said that the truck was really old, but she could hear it like how hard they were pushing trying to get out of there, hear it like revving up, trying so hard to like go fast as they were trying to peel wheels because aww. It's the 70s, so they don't have a phone. They have to drive to a phone,
like, no, they have to drive to the nearest hospital.
And they're like, well, there wasn't, no, they drove, I believe, to an airport. They went to the first place they found. They're also lost, like they don't have GPS. They got a fucking
I'm
map.
Dead.
So I'm pretty sure the one source I read said it was an airport, but I can't confirm that. But wherever they went to, they found a phone and they called for help. And the paramedics did arrive and they airlifted Mary to the hospital.
Mary.
By the time she got there, Mary had lost over half of her blood volume.
Oh my god. Can you function at that much loss?
She was like, no, I'm not done. So she had lost over half her blood volume. And what she did have left, like, had become toxic. Probably from being chopped off with, like, a fucking rusty saw. Or a hatchet.
She
said in the
that's episode a lot of blood dialysis.
She just had like such a strong will to live that she just fought it off.
How do you just fight it off? Is she superhuman?
Apparently, because she immediately wanted to assist officers with the sketch and she was like, No, I have shit to do. She helped them so much that within 10 days the police had identified and arrested Lawrence Singleton.
Absolutely.
Of course, his name was fucking Larry.
Iconic.
Larry. And the next time Mary saw him was 6 months later in court. And no matter how scared, no matter what was going on, she was like, no, I'm gonna face him and he's gonna pay for what the fuck he did to me.
Wow.
This is another thing that really bothers me. So in court, he was only a few feet away from her. I don't understand why that's constantly allowed. Like, it is so traumatic for people.
Mm-hmm.
This guy intimately attacked her. Like, she's never going to forget the way he smelled, what he was wearing, the way he looked. And you're going to make her stand there and look at him, which she did because she was like, fuck you. Like, I'm going to do it. But she said, like, it was super traumatic. But based on her testimony, he was convicted of rape and attempted murder. There were some other charges as well, like, pertaining to the rape and attempted murder.
Torture. Fucking assault.
Listen. Sadly, the max penalty in the state of California at the time was only 14 years for the crimes in which he was sentenced.
California.
It gets worse. It gets worse. Yeah, had this been some Texas shit, that's one thing I will say. Like, they've been taking bitches to the grave since the beginning.
Texas will take your ass out.
Texas, he wouldn't have made it there because they would have rallied outside of the court with her. Ooh, and
everything's
like,
bigger in Texas.
They would have been like,
especially the electrocution.
Correct. So here's the thing. I don't think many people deserve to die. I do, in fact, feel as though he deserved to die.
Mm-hmm.
After the testimony and everything, Mary had to walk past him to leave the courthouse. And like the supreme dickless coward that he was, he whispered so that only she could hear, if it's the last thing I do, I will finish the job.
Good luck, you penis.
He's such a piece of shit that he could literally not handle that she came for him. And he was like, this is the only pathetic way I can try to assert any dominance.
Okay.
Sadly, it did affect her, though, because his sentence would mean that she would be, like, just around 30 when he got out. So, that sucks.
Yeah, well, she's just gonna have to kill him.
Well, she did win a $2.56 million civil judgment against him. That's However, she was unable to collect when he revealed that he was unemployed, in poor health, and had no money. Like, that sounds like a whole lot of not my fucking problem.
That's really what it sounds like to me,
like,
as well.
I cannot.
Sounds like you lost the lawsuit.
He also, and I it, like, angered me so bad that I'm not even really, fuck it, but he tried to sue her. I don't even remember what for. He just tried to sue her for money, and the courts were like, you're a fucking imbecile. No. You want to just really get pissed?
Yeah.
Are you feeling it?
Yeah.
Lawrence was paroled for good behavior in 1987, only 8 years after he was arrested. 8 years. I just want to understand how the fuck he gets good behavior. Just kidding, I know how I got it. He taught at the prison school, which apparently negates the fact that he's a savage rapist and attempted murderer and tortures people. And of course, like, this fucked with Mary. Like, she was trying to live her life and move on, and she was certainly not expecting him to get out in 8 years.
Wow.
I didn't put it, like, in my official notes, but I had read other sources. He actually had a daughter from a previous marriage, and she, like, wrote to the jail and was like, please don't let him out. And she was so terrified that he would find her. And I don't remember, like, reading anything about him abusing her, but she was like, he's a fucking rapist and a murderer. She was the same age as Mary, or mm-mm, a very similar age to her. So she was like, absolutely no.
Mm-mm.
I didn't go any further into any of her information because honestly, like, she doesn't deserve any of that, and mm-mm, she can just live in peace. But
oh my god.
Yeah. So when Singleton was paroled to Contra Costa County in California, no town would accept his presence based on his heinous behavior. So he had to live in a trailer on the grounds of San Quentin Prison until he was paroled, or ended parole a year later. Like, the people were like, fine, you can release him, but we're not going to fucking take him.
They're like, he's not, like, living here, he's bitch. He's not.
He attempted to settle in one Bay Area town after another, but there were constant protests and
the Tampa's, Bay Area.
Yeah, the Bay Area, I told you.
Here we are, full circle.
Tampa's chapter of the Guardian Angels, like, would scream and picket and protest, and they eventually prevailed. They were like, you can fucking take him. And he had to live on the jail, on the prison grounds.
Wow.
There was, like, some good to come from, like, this whole situation, which was the outrage over the length of his sentence in general. resulted in legislation supported by Mary Vincent, which prevents the early release of offenders who have committed a crime in which torture is used.
Yeah.
So specifically because he tortured her, it doesn't matter how great he is in prison, you don't get the
beat. Yeah.
You've shown your true colors, fuck off.
Yeah, literally fuck off.
And then in 1987, Singleton's parole led to passage of California's Singleton Bill, which carries a 25 to life sentence for this type of crime.
Good.
So even after all this, Mary was like, no, I'm fighting for justice. Like, fuck you. This isn't happening again. Sadly, though, despite her best efforts, because she has clearly done enough, he did ultimately commit the act of murder when he moved to Florida after he was released from parole. He was from Florida, from what I read, so he moved back there.
Florida man.
Let's all act shocked.
Mm.
I read a couple reports where, like, his neighbors, like, knew what he had done, and they were like, oh, he's trying. And, like, I even read one report that he tried to kill himself, and a neighbor saved him. And then that's before he killed this lady, and they were like, oh,
let him go.
It's my fault that he killed this lady, because I had saved him. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
You knew.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's not like you saved a stranger who
you knew who the fuck that man was.
So, sorry, I can't feel sympathy for you. So when he moved to Florida, he was arrested for a variety of smaller crimes. Like, I want to say one of them, he stole like either $10 or something worth $10, just stupid shit. But then one day police were called to his home after a report came in that he was seen attacking a woman in his house. When the police did arrive, he answered the door, completely naked and covered in blood. He was just like, come in. Super cash. And they found the deceased body of Roxanne Hayes, who had been stabbed multiple times in the upper body. Roxanne was a sex worker and a mother of three kids.
No.
I did get a little frustrated. I'm going to just be really honest. When this story does not have a lot of information, it's very hard to find articles and things. The most information I got was from Mary Vincent herself on that episode. But I just feel as though there was nothing surrounding Roxanne Hayes. Like, it was just like, oh, okay, she died. And it's like, okay, yes. So she had a job as a sex worker. She was a fucking mom. She had three kids. She was a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit disappointed that I couldn't find better just information. It was all, you know, oh, it's so great. And it is wonderful, of course, that Mary survived. And, of course, she has nothing to do with the fact that there was no reporting of this, really, but it just
messed
made me
up.
Sad. Yeah, it made me sad. However, I will say, for his murder trial, Mary was like, fuck off, and she flew from California to Tampa to appear at his sentencing. So he was already convicted, but she was there at a sentencing hearing because she was like, I have things to say. So she just recounted what he did to her and how it had been affecting her life and how his early release affected her life and how she knew this would happen. And based on her testimony and the crime, he was sentenced to death. Sadly, though, not for him, for us.
He was sentenced to death?
Yeah.
In the state of California?
In Florida.
Ah,
in
Florida. Florida. Yes, of course.
They just do whatever.
Florida, Texas, Alabama.
They're just living.
Mississippi.
And you know my position on it. I feel like kind of indifferent about it because I do feel like there are plenty of situations where people who are not guilty can end up dying, which sucks. But I also have like a little piece of me that's like, you fucked up, sir. You killed somebody in Florida.
I would say that death is a sweet release.
That's okay. So that's also how Mary feels, because even though he was sentenced to death, he died in 2001. So not too long after this. This murder happened in 97. And then he died in 2001. Of cancer. And she said she felt super robbed.
Mm-hmm.
But she also said at this point, I believe she had two sons. She had children. And she said the relief on her son's faces for her behalf, she was like, that has to just be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, she did, I guess she didn't necessarily realize the impact it might have on them as her children watching her be so scared, because she went on to have such vicious nightmares that she would like injure herself in her sleep trying to like escape. Yes, he died in prison, but Mary did go on to have children of her own. She did have a failed relationship, but the last thing I saw, she then was in a nice relationship. But she has her children and her life. She's become an artist, and she literally uses like, she doesn't have prosthetic, like, fingers. She has, like, these hooks. And she uses them and became an artist. Yeah. And she paints badass women.
Oh, beautiful.
I know. So.
She's cool.
Lawrence is rotting in hell. I believe in hell. And I know that's where he is.
Well, you know, rotting. I pray that he is there.
Yeah. You'll be, like, not even believing in hell. And you're like, but you know what? Just, I'm like, in case.
I pray that he's in hell.
Jesus, we ain't talked in a while, but I got a request.
Please.
You just picture God opening heaven and just dropping him in. Like, you know what? Fuck off.
Yeah, like, literally.
It definitely wasn't as light as I expected. But I do have something exciting that I've been trying to, like, work on. I've been trying to work on Maddie about this for a while. She's always said yes, but she just kind of seems like she doesn't care.
It doesn't help that I was just yawning at that moment in time.
Correct. I really, really, really want to do, like, a segment called Creepy Catnip.
Who's stopping you? Thanks. Literally, everyone who listened to this podcast could attest to the 6 times that I've told you to go ahead and do it.
Creepy Catnip, and I want to tell... Did I talk about this last episode?
You've talked about it before.
Do you see the fucking judgment? Do you hear it coming whence forth from her lips?
And I said, do it.
Anyway.
You just tried to hate on me.
I'm going to do my next episode. It's going to be a creepy catnip from Creature. Just kidding. He's not involved. The weed will kill him. But I want to do an episode on SeaWorld. Years ago, I watched the documentary Blackfish, and it fucking blew my brain open.
Nuts.
And I haven't stopped thinking about it ever since that day. And there's so many, like, crazy things that happened, so many deaths, so much crazy shit. It's just bananas.
Human, whale.
It was insane. And I was like, you know what? That'll be a nice respite from, like, the heinous act of... I've had enough of, like, rape in particular. Like, yeah. I'm sick of stories where, like, some creepy-ass motherfucker... just can't keep his dick away. I've had enough of that.
Men.
And while a lot of people still die as a result of SeaWorld's bullshit, like, it's a different track. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it because it really, it fucked with me. And I like stories like that, that, like, even though they're uncomfortable, you think about them for a long time. And surprisingly, a lot of people at my work have not seen Blackfish.
Really?
Which is crazy to me because it's been out a really long time. Like, we watched it years ago.
It has, yeah.
But it is so
good. A lot of
good.
People don't care to watch sea documentaries, although, like, anyone who enjoys seafood better care.
I don't really like documentaries as a whole, to be honest, and I wasn't really keen to watch it because I don't know, I've just never been a documentary person. Like, I've still not watched Tiger King.
I love documentaries. Shit.
But Sean, I think it was Sean, or it might have been one of my friends. It might have been my friend Stephanie, like, recommended it to me. And I was like, all right, because she also recommended Grey's Anatomy to me, and that was delightful. So true. I was like, all right, I'll try. And it was so insane. And I couldn't turn it off. It's not, like, that long or anything, but we definitely finished it all in one sitting.
It's good.
So that's what I'll do. Do you know what you're gonna do next?
No.
Hard pass.
Oh, wait. No. I might not do that then.
I mean, you could do Blackfish.
No. There was this, like... Well, I don't want to give anything away.
Oh, she wants to surprise you.
But I probably won't do that one next, because it's pretty violent.
I definitely, like, was crying the other day. I was like, I need a break. I love doing the podcast, but I think I talked to Maddie about possibly trying to film in the morning sometimes, because I think filming right before I go to bed.
That too.
This dark shit, it's like living in my head.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh my god, that was scarily loud.
Who okay. Was it? Creature? Felix? Faye?
Okay.
Now they're not gonna answer me. Fuckers. All right, well, that's all I have to say.
Well, okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I keep trying to use my mouse and it doesn't work. Okay, bye.
Bye.